When I was asked to give a class on this verse, I read the purport, but it was only one line. So what can I say? So normally when you give a class, actually it's meant to elaborate on what Prabhupada said on purport. So here Prabhupada said only one line. Before you offer prayers to the Lord, you should offer his devotees and associates. So there are two categories here. Let's analyze. So in order to offer prayers to the Lord, there are two categories we have to offer. One is his associates and one is his devotees. Even out of these two categories, we have to offer obeisances to his devotee first and then his associate. Actually, his associate is a much higher level than devotees. But Prabhupada said here, we have to offer obeisances to his devotee first. Then I was taught, as normally Prabhupada do or Prabhupada did, whatever was mentioned in Nectar of Devotional Service actually is packed in our morning program. So we know that the 64 angas of devotional service, it starts with offering prayers to spiritual master. And then later on, it further down to the all sorts of things, and then, you know, offer prayers to Tulsi, and then bang down, and then it's starting Bhagavatam, residing holy places. All these things is packed in the morning program. So, when you think about this, then what Prabhupada said here, it actually is packed in Prema Dvani prayers. So we say, Jayam Vishpada Paramamsa Parvakachari Asotarasta Sri Srimad Abhay Chanarabhinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. So before we actually offer prayers to the Krishna, it starts with the Prabhupada. And then previously, Prabhupada disciples normally used to quote Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur first, and then Prabhupada, and then ISKCON founder Chari Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, and then Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. So Ananda Koti, what is Ananda Koti? This means unlimited number of devotees. Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki, those who gathered, although in our own eyes, we see only devotees who are present physically. But, you know, in the Gaurardi Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayers, that when he offers or when he prays to the Lord, actually he's saying that Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, all come here, all the demigods, which we don't have eyes to see, they gather here to hear Srimad Bhagavatam or Srimad Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that's why Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. And then again, he offers prayers to Namacharya Srila Haridasa Thakur Ki. So the reason is that Namacharya Haridasa Thakur is kind of teaching us how to make a relationship with the Lord. And then Premshikau Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Then he goes to his associate, yeah, Chaitanya Prabhu and then Nityananda Prabhu, all other associates. Then, what is next? Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shyamakun Radha Kunki Gopina. Then Sri Radha Krishna comes. So, if you search further, then where Sri Radha Gopinanda reside is a holy dham, and then he offers offer prayers to the holy dham, and then Ganga Devi, Yamuna Devi, all sort of other things. So then it is quite reminding us that how we appreciate things. And so again, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami started Chaitanya Charitamrita, starting with the first chapter is spiritual master. So he offers prayers and he tried to seek blessing from spiritual master. So then spiritual master also two categories. One is initiating guru and one is giving instructions. So actually, in order to kind of appreciate or in order to develop a relationship with Krishna, then actually we have to first develop relationship with our spiritual masters. So don't think our Supreme Master is our only gurus, initiation guru. Actually, those who around senior devotees or those who have a kind of a higher understanding, actually that personality is also our spiritual master. Then, unfortunately, because we are living very close with these personalities who are very familiar with us, then actually we don't really appreciate them as spiritual master. Or we don't really appreciate those who are very, very senior. That's our problem. So that's why, because we don't appreciate this fact, then easy to make offenses to them. Oh, Chaitanya said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saying again and again, the offense is like a mad elephant. Whatever you grow in your devotional kripa, this mad elephant destroys everything. And then I was meditating in this point, then we have to realize then how we appreciate or how do we learn to appreciate things. So if we understand how to appreciate, then that is easy to respect to spiritual master and guru. So in this regard, we have to learn how to appreciate things. Of course, last year we went through Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he appreciate things. For example, when he had a Jagannath Prasadam, all of a sudden, just he had a little prasadam, and then he was thinking about Jagannath temple, and then he further stretched his thinking further that Jagannath and related to Krishna and Radharani, and then he stretched again relationship between gopis, and then he feels he's so unfortunate because he cannot have Lila, he cannot enter the Lila and Krishna and the gopis, and then he was thinking about Radharani, and then he's quoting song of Bumblebee. Just the Jagannath Prasadam, start with the Jagannath Prasadam, he expanded immensely to Krishna Lila. So then, for us, you know, we cannot kind of reach that stage, but we need to have a little bit of exercise that how to appreciate things, how to expand our thinking towards developing relationship with Krishna. So then, I thought it would be nice to have some little bit of exercise. I brought some exercise. At the moment, I'm studying Buddhism with my son. So very interesting subject came. So I want you to participate this exercise. And then I want you to stretch your thinking. And then I want to see what can you come up with. So here, there is some picture. I want to see, so what is this picture? It's a bones. Anybody? What is this picture? Yeah, it's a bone. Yes? Bone. Now, this exercise is not to figure out what this picture is about. After seeing the bones, what comes to your mind? Skeleton. Yeah, skeleton. Bone, kind of a skeleton. So what comes to your mind? Yes? Death? What else? Dinosaurs, yes. Altisaki Mataji, what do you think? After seeing this bone, a body, structure, what else? Huh? Why you say dog? Could you elaborate on that? Why? Dog likes bones. Okay, yes? Investigators, kind of archaeologists. That's a bit good answer, because what I'm trying to see is that out of this bone, we need to stretch our thinking a bit. So he's thinking archaeologist who's kind of making survey. So yes, Mataji, yes.
I just wanted to say, from the distance, I saw it as
Rhubarb. Because she's a cook, so she's a... Yeah. Whatever you think, it has to do with the cooking, so yeah. When I was cooking... I used to be thinking like that, you know, whatever comes to my mind, how can I go, how to make it better? So this is a little bit of exercise. Now, actually, you know, Lord Buddha, we don't really hear about him much, and we don't really hear about his teachings. But today I'd like to introduce a little bit about his teachings through this one. So one time he was traveling with his disciples. And then he saw this bunch of bone. And his reaction was, don't be surprised, he paid obeisances. He not only just the obeisances, he just paid full obeisances. And then disciple came along. Oh, my master, why are you paying obeisance to the bone? Normally bone considered dirty. And then actually we have to take a bath after seeing the bone or touching the bone. But you're paying obeisances, why is that? And then he said, you know, we are going through millions of lifetimes. So this bone may be my mother's bone. How do you know? So I feel that this could have been my mother's bone. That's why I paid obeisances. And then, of course, the inquisitive disciple argued that, no, you know, through the bone, by seeing the bone, how do you know this is a female bone? It may be male bone. Maybe you might get wrong. And then Buddha said, so pick up the dead bone. And then I'll tell you what it is. And then he said, in general, male's bone is heavy and white. And then female's bone is a bit gray and very light. The reason is that, in general, men are a bit lazy, and women do all the hard work. And of course, giving baby also. So, because so much nutrition gives the baby, so the woman's bone is very, very light, and then very gray. So this bone is dark and gray and very light. It must be female's bone. And then he stretched a bit further. So on there, on the spot, he composed the poem about how to appreciate mothers. So here, what I'm trying to tell you is that Lord Buddha's mother passed away after 7 days he was born. Actually, he never had affection from the mother. Actually, his auntie raised him. So even he didn't have any affection from his mother directly, he started to offer gratitude or appreciation to all the mothers. Not only just one, he stretched to 10 gratitudes. So it becomes, in Buddhist society, is like Bhagavad Gita, it like became text of his saying. So here, I will quickly go through his 10 gratitudes for mothers. So here, first, his gratitude is that old mother carries baby for 9 months. So it's quite amazing to see this text that Lord Buddha had amazing medical knowledge. So first of all, he described when mother carries a baby, it's the legs get swollen, and sometimes they have back pain, and also they have a lot of fear while giving birth, what's going to happen. So he appreciates this. And then he goes second, and then the pain of the mothers when they deliver the baby. And then he categorized different types of baby. Some baby comes up very kind of easily. The other baby's head supposed to come up first, but when baby comes out the other way around, mother goes through tremendous pain. And then he describes this pain as if with a knife, when you stick your belly, it's like that kind of pain that they go through. It's something like that. And then thirdly, when once baby is born, mother forgets all this pain. And then mother absorbs his thinking only for the baby. And then fourth, and then in order to feed the baby, mother eats all the leftover food and always give baby very good food and then very nice food. And then five, he says that in India, in rainy season comes, everything gets flooded. So we see how Mayapur get flooded, and then especially where the Lord Buddha was living, that place is easily get flooded. So he's saying that even mother sleeps in wet place, but always make sure baby sleeps on dry place. So he appreciates that. It's the fifth appreciation. And then sixth, he gives milk, a mother gives milk to the baby, although she feels thirsty. So even she feels thirsty, she makes sure baby should be fed well. And then seven, he's saying that mother always trying to avoid hot wind and dirty things from the baby. And then eight, when child away, always mother worries. Recently, my son went for school trip. I didn't worry much, but still, it was a bit lingering in my mind, like that. So your brahmachari, so you're here, so I'm sure your mothers will think about you, although you're physically or contact regularly, but they will, your mothers will still thinking about you. And then nine, this is a quite interesting part. So mothers, even they don't mind doing simple activities for the baby. So we hear so many things. One of the typical example is that what I think of now is that I get involved with the schoolwork, and then some parents, in order to put their child in the good school, sometimes they forge their address and all the things. Then if they get caught, they go to prison, maybe they have a criminal offense record, something like that. But mothers or parents, they don't mind doing these simple activities. And sometimes baby cries, baby's hunger, you know, the mothers, you know, come there to kind of doing some theft also, trying to steal food for the baby. And then 10th, this is interesting also. This last thing is that Lord Buddha said that even at the time of death, a lot of parents, a lot of mothers think about their own children rather than think about their next life. So this is Lord Buddha's appreciation of mothers. In this way, we've seen this born. So all we could think of, yes, death or our body or something like that. But Lord Buddha searched to the appreciation to our mothers, and then he composed the whole shastra, how to appreciate things. So then, in Srimad Bhagavatam also, Dattatreya Rishi is saying that 24 spiritual masters, it started with the five gross material, and earth, air, fire, ether. So he stretched the even prostitute Pingala. So he considered prostitute Pingala as spiritual master. When we think about the prostitute, they are bottom of our society, but he said you can learn something from them. So in this way, while doing the devotional service, whatever comes along, or whatever we see around the world, around us, actually it's an object to teach us, and also we have to ready to learn. Again, I'd like to quote one more verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. And then here it says, this is from 11th canto, chapter 7, text 20. Atmano guru atmaiva purusha visheshata yapraktaksha anumabhayam sreyosha anuvindate. Translation. An intelligent person, expert in perceiving the world around him and in applying sound logic, can achieve real benefit through his own intelligence. Thus, sometimes one acts as one's own instructing spiritual master. So here saying that it is actually instruction to Uddhava by Krishna. In order to appreciate things, actually you have to develop your own intelligence, and also sometimes you see yourself as your own spiritual master. Yes? We have spiritual master outside, but at the same time you see yourself as spiritual master, you have conduct in a way. Jai Sri Sri Gauranga, Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulanda ki, Sitaram Lakshma Hanuman ki, Jai Sri Sri Gauranga ki, Jai Sri Prabhupada ki, Jai. And then here is quite interesting. In the purport, Srila Jiva Goswami states in this connection, Guru Anusharane Prataksha Iti Artha. The knowledge acquired by one's own perception and intelligence leads one to appreciate the value of the representative of Lord Krishna. The word Shreya in this verse indicates that one can advance in life through one's own intelligence. By good association, one should gradually come to understand one's eternal position as servant of Krishna. And then one becomes very eager to live in the company of other enlightened persons. Birds of a feather flock together. The symptom of one enlightened servant of Krishna is that he is eager for the company of other such great souls. Thus, by one's sensitive and rational observation of this material world, one should come to appreciate the value of spiritual life in the association of devotees. So this is the key essence of this verse, and also this is a key message I would like to deliver for this class, that we need to have sensitive and rational observation of this material world. So when we talk about this material world, sometimes we have a cliche that, oh, this is the material life, this is a material thing. So once we really deeply analyze, actually, what is a material, what is a spiritual? What's the difference? If it's everything from the Krishna, then what can we say? Something is material, something is spiritual. If you think in this regard, this matter is something material. But if you put some meaning into it, actually this is not material. It's serving Krishna by holding this book. Whatever, even flow or even trees and whatever you see, it's made out of five gross elements. So these gross elements, Krishna said, this is my external energy. So in this way, if you think, analyze, anything you see, anything, even people around you, can be your spiritual master or can be utilized as devotional service, then it can be spiritual. So in the ultimate sense, it boils down to our consciousness, whether it's material or whether it's spiritual. In this sense, actually, nothing is material, whether in this world or after, because everything comes from Krishna, and then if you perceive in that way. So this boils down to, again, our logical thinking. How do we value things? So in family life, also the same thing. So after marriage, we get too familiar with each other. So all of a sudden, we see the other partner as their own wife or their own husband. We can't see further than that. Actually, before I get married, actually, my wife was a devotee and my husband was a devotee. All of a sudden, we forget about that kind of a fact. So, in one sense, if you're really, really Krishna conscious, then all the problems will get solved. The reason is that the fundamental cause of all the problems, if you really analyze, this is lack of Krishna consciousness. We don't really think properly. So that's why advanced souls, when they have problems, they sit down and they meditate. But now that people have problems, they go to court or run down to the pub. This is the reality. So this is my personal, I'd like to share with you my personal, experience, which is not very palatable, but I'd like to share with you. The other day, I had some issues, so I wrote a letter to one senior devotees. So my first language is not English, and anyway, I just wrote the letter, whatever I could, without any offense. So it started with, Prabhu, I felt that this is inappropriate, that you did some such things. And that it came back to me that this devotee was very, very offended, very, very angry because of the word inappropriate. So the inappropriate means, I didn't know that before this incident, I realized that it's a very heavy word. So when man touches the woman, it is inappropriate, or he explained in this way. So at the end, he's mentioning that, because of I wrote this letter, at that evening, he couldn't eat, and he was so angry, so what he did was chanting. So he said, in order to calm his mind, he had to chant. So I learned a lot from him. You know, this is a real devotee, that when they get upset, first thing they turn to is that they start to chant first. And of course, you know, I met him again and I asked apologies, and then we kind of settled nicely. And then we pay obeisance to each other, and then we hug each other, and then, you know, come around for the prasadam, all this end up in this way. So, I'm trying to make a point that in our life, small single mistake can go wrong, and then maybe it becomes really huge without our own expectation. But and yet, as we try to be devotee, we try to turn to our spiritual solution, which is appreciation and our holy name. Again, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said that in this material life, two things you can trust, holy name and the cash in hand. I don't know how far it is true, but Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said that. So chanting holy name includes a lot of things, yes. So I would like to conclude the lecture class today, that how to appreciate things and also how to value what we are seeing around. So is there any correction? And yes.